Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime Cast, Patreon edition. I'm John, here with Jamie. How you doing, man?
Doing all right, buddy. It's hard to believe that another month has gone by. I feel like we are doing these very often, which love doing them. A lot of fun. Happy to do it. Just seems like it's, I don't know, a little sooner than normal.
Is 2025 the fastest year of your existence? Because it feels like that to me.
Yeah, I think every year feels faster, maybe. I don't know, as you get older.
It's October, man. Yesterday was New Year.
It was pretty close.
Man, good Lord. Well, guys, we appreciate you all sticking around. I feel like, man, we're on officially year 8 now. Is that true?
November
will be.
Yep.
So
our first episode came out in November of 2017. Did we both say that with a question mark?
Yeah, because I feel like I remember.
I'm gonna double check. Let's see.
But a lot of you guys have been around since very, very early in our podcasting profession or career.
The first episode called Genesis came out November 7th.
Wow.
2017.
So just completely grateful and humbled that you all paid to hear these two idiots talk about a crime. But so very thankful. We could not do this without you. In fact, there's been times over the 8 years that if it wasn't from you all, I don't know that I would have continued.
So completely agree. Yeah, this group of supporters means so much. Can't even put it into words. But yeah, we would definitely be done for a number of different reasons. But you guys are awesome. Appreciate the encouragement. And hopefully you feel like you're getting your value. We're open to other ideas with our Patreon supporters of things to do. So if you have an idea and say, hey, why don't you do a Zoom call with all of us, which we've tried to do before. Happy to try again.
Yeah, that would be awesome. It was so much fun seeing some of you all at CrimeCon in Denver. Jamie is slated to be at CrimeCon in 2026 in Las Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
You'll be there with your wife. So that's a thing.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get her a ticket to the table. I need somebody there with me.
I wish I could be there. As it stands right now, I am booked that weekend already in 2026. I can't believe that my calendar is booked that far out, but it is. But I'm trying.
For two things to be booked that far out and be the same weekend is insane.
It stinks is what it does, but I really want to try to be there. I don't know. Maybe we have the power to make CrimeCon move its weekend, or I don't know. Anything could happen, but yeah. Jamie, any major case updates before we get rolling with today's case, which I am so excited to talk about?
Yeah, I'm excited to hear you talk about this specifically. So Karen Reed's civil trial is starting, and already similar drama to the first time. The defense wants to use pretty much everybody that was in the Albertson house the other guy did it defense. And so that's going on. The Menendez brothers last week. Well, what's today? 2 weeks ago. I don't know when I am.
Time is just an abstract concept anyway.
So they were both denied access to parole. And they were set to get out. And whether or not I agree with it, an election changed all of that, which I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, I mean, I find it hard to believe that things could get political and politics would have any bearing on the state of our union, but whatever, you know, I'll agree to disagree.
You're probably right. So those are big ones. Brooks Houck was officially sentenced to life in prison for the murder of Crystal Rogers. So I feel like we should have an applause button for that one. It's about daggum time. Honestly, I thought they sentenced him at the end of his hearing, but they didn't. The official one was 2 weeks ago.
Did you happen to catch any of the victim impact statements that were directed at Brooks? Her brothers.
Crystal's
was
brothers.
Probably so the most. That one hit me hard. So I hope, man, I always try to put myself in people's shoes, and I don't know that I could give an impact statement and keep it professional enough to be in court. So I think, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah.
It would be so tough.
So many people did in that one. Her mom spoke, her sister spoke, her brother's was very powerful and very direct, called out some things that Brooks had said to him over the years that was like, how do you like me now? Essentially. So yeah. Very powerful stuff, and still work to be done in Bardstown. Hopefully they'll move on to solve the murder of Jason Ellis and Tommy Ballard, which I think may be related to this. The other major crime out there, I don't think is related, but still unsolved. So,
yeah, I think I hope and pray that there are more stories to come out of Bardstown. I don't think this one's over yet.
To be clear, you mean like stories in a courtroom, not more murders,
right? I want more updates with more charges being filed is what I want. And I think that there are at least two more cases that could be solved within the realm of this case in particular, Crystal Rogers.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure nobody heard you say, I really hope they have some more murder up there.
No.
It's good for business.
That's the last thing I want. All right, man. We are going to be talking about probably one of the most important aspects of my life. From the late 90s, early 2000s. Why don't you talk about it and get the ball rolling?
Yeah, so I know we have people on Patreon that span so many different age groups. So hopefully you can all resonate with this in one way or another. But for you and me, let's go back to 1999. You and I were both in high school.
Yep.
Right. And I remember sitting in my bedroom, dial up internet with that sound that is,
I can't describe it, but I can hear it in my brain.
It's triggering
now.
If you haven't heard it. You've got a clunky desktop, and it would take you like 2 hours to download a 3 megabyte file, which takes less than a fraction of a second now.
And that file, you're talking about one song. You're talking about, like, if I wanted to download a song on the internet back in 1999, it would take hours.
There were times when I downloaded shorter songs.
Yeah. I downloaded an entire book on my iPhone, like an audiobook, so it was 7 hours worth of content. It literally took less than 10 seconds. If 15-year-old John could see into the future and that was a possibility, my mind would have been blown.
And that music was what we were downloading, right? You'd go in, you'd type in Metallica, Dr. Dre. Sorry.
Why would you say that name in this?
Because that's most of the legal stories with Metallica. Britney Spears. There went some, who else? Goo Goo Dolls, Three Doors Down,
dude.
Mashbox 20.
I had some mixed CDs from downloading stuff off Napster, and they were iconic. I wish I could find some now just so you could see the range of stuff I was listening to, because it would be Metallica, AC/DC, and then you'd get like Weezer, the Bloodhound Gang, POD. I mean, it was a ride. And then, you know, if I was going to have a lady friend with me, then maybe there's some George Strait, maybe there's some Kenny Chet, you know, who knows? It's different.
Little boys to men.
Nelly.
What I would go with the women. Yeah. So to put that in perspective, this was Napster. You could just type in a song. If somebody had shared it on there, it was available for you to download. Otherwise, there was no other way to do this. Occasionally, you could find a rip-off copy of a song on a random website, but you were like 50-50 getting a virus on your phone, so it wasn't really safe. There were no other apps. Like, there wasn't even an iPhone. There were no apps for anything.
There was no apps, yeah.
So
This was a free software that you could download.
Revolution is the word. Like, it...
Was it a sharing service? Because really, when I was downloading all this stuff, I didn't know how it worked. I went to the computer, I opened up Napster, I typed in Metallica, and I downloaded their songs. But basically, I'm downloading it from someone's private server that they allowed access to Napster, right?
Yeah.
So like a file sharing system?
Yeah. So if I had a song, I could get it off of a CD or something and then upload it to Napster, and then whoever on the internet wanted to download it could.
See, I was always just a taker. I never was a giver, you know?
I totally believe that. I'm just kidding. But
I never shared anything with people on Napster. I only took it.
I mean, it's still against the law, which is why we're talking about this today.
I
know.
I'm just saying I was not a good Napster friend.
And I'm honest to goodness, didn't realize that it was illegal. I just thought how cool it was. The only reason the word piracy was in my vocabulary was because of that thing at the beginning of every movie in the theaters. Piracy is not a victimless crime.
Yeah, I mean, 15-year-old John didn't think about music artists as like real people who were being stolen from. Every time I downloaded a song, it was I saw them as almost like a villain. Like, these are mega rich people. I'm not gonna make them even notice a difference in their pay if I download one of their songs instead of paying what, $20 for an album.
Yeah.
So I did see it as a victimless crime, but I was wrong.
Yeah, and I think we see that often as people trying to justify their crimes by saying things like that, and I know I did.
So, all right, so we've told you a little bit about Napster. Some of you, if you're young enough, I know there are some like streaming services that are illegal now, like I guess they're illegal. I'm thinking of like MBE, I'm thinking of Plex. Those are all applications that you can download now on your devices, and then you can share media with other people, or you can, you know, receive media from other people and let you watch movies that are still in theaters and vice versa.
There's all kinds of jailbroken Fire Sticks. I think that would be a similar law violation to what you would see, but yeah, it is definitely against the law, but I really want to get across how big of a deal this is. It's not AI, right? But I think the way that AI has changed our culture so quickly since ChatGPT came out, Napster did the same thing for music. Would you agree with that analogy how big of a deal it was?
Yeah. I mean, AI is huge, but Napster, man, at the time was life-changing. I mean, I was a little kid in Jellico, Tennessee. The closest place I could buy an album was 20 minutes away, and I didn't have the money to get there. I didn't always have a car available. So, and when I would get there, it was Walmart. So they didn't always have the selection I wanted. So to actually go get a record that I knew was going to be there would be an hour drive. So being able to get on a computer, download any song I want, you know, I'm getting access to stuff that may not be available, and it was free.
Very, very free to us, but not free to the artists. So who started all these shenanigans?
So at the heart of this story, we're going to be talking about Sean Fanning. He was an 18-year-old kid from